The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Take your Bible, please, and go to the book of Matthew chapter 8. Look at verse 23, where the Bible says, "And when he entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him, and the Bible says, awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Oh," it says, listen to it now, "why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose, and he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm." I want to speak to you this morning on when the winds blow. When the winds blow. You know, there's going to be times in your life when winds do blow. Sometimes winds are a blessing. I remember being raised in Millers, Maryland on that 180-acre farm as just a little boy. And I remember looking at the big red barn. And on top of the big red barn, we had this rooster. It wasn't a rooster that was alive. It was a metal rooster. And on one side, there was north, east, south, and west. And it was just, you know, the N and the S and the W and the E. And but when the winds blew, can I tell you that rooster came alive? When the winds blew, all of a sudden that began to move this away and move that away. And it even had its own little crow as it would squeak as it would move from side to side. Well, I remember as a little boy, I used to love to fly kites. I'd go out into the country meadow, and I'd take a kite, and I would run out there as a little bitty boy. And I didn't like the plastic ones, because the plastic ones, you know, they were cheaply bought, and they would quickly tear up. But I like those good old-fashioned, well-built kites that you could take as a little boy, and you could attach that string to it, and you could run out through the meadow area, and all of a sudden, it would take flight. Mostly because of the wind. That wind would carry it higher and higher and higher. And boy, it was just a fun time flying that kite. Oh, I remember the first time I ever got into a plane. Oh, I was so scared. I got into the plane and, you see them take off all the time, but it sure is different when you sit inside of one. And I remember sitting inside of a plane, and all of a sudden we started going down. It was a crop plane. A friend of mine had a plane, and he said, "Hey, you want to go out and help dust some crops today?" He said, "I think I can squeeze you in." And certainly it was a squeezing in process. And so I squeezed in, had this little bitty window right around me there, and he took off down through the field, and it was kind of bouncing like this, and finally it took off, and we were able to be able to spread that, if you would, that spray over Brother Bill Thorne's crops that was living down in the valley. And so, but I remember doing that, and I remember taking off into the wind. You know, I found an airplane here, by the way, in Dallas. If you ever want to get the ride of your life, it's called Seaport, and you ought to try it at least one time. I remember preaching with and for Dr. Bachman years ago, and I would get on the plane, and I would fly Seaport because, you know, it was an inexpensive plane, and those of you that's called into evangelism that's in our church, let me encourage you sometime in your life to fly Seaport. I think it's a really neat experience. It's the way they used to do it many years ago. As a matter of fact, when you'd go into the airport down at Love Field, we didn't have to go through any type of security check. You just take your bags and put them right there on the plane. I mean, it's just freedom, you know. You get on that prop plane, you go down that lane, and you take off. But, you know, before we took off, I remember as we would land in Alabama, they switched the pilots, and the new pilot came out, and he said, "I don't know," same plane, he said, "I don't know if you've been informed yet," he said, "but I just want to tell you that there is two escape exits on this plane," as he would kneel down and give us instructions, and he said, "Now, that one back there, that door back there, yeah, the one in the back." By the way, there was only six passengers, and I was one of them. He said, that door in the back, he said, "that door right back there," he said, "it's malfunctioning right now, and it doesn't work." He said, "so if you're going to get out, I suggest that if we go in, you get out this front one right here." You know, that wasn't encouraging. I'd witnessed to the lady, and you know the story. I've told the story, I think, once or twice before. I witnessed to the lady right beside me as we were coming into the Alabama area, and she wasn't interested in the Lord, but she's going to fly into the rest of the trip with me. And so she flew into the rest of the trip with me, and on the rest of the trip in with me, all of a sudden we came across a storm, and it started shaking that airplane back and forth and up and down. And I'd already asked her the question. I said, do you know for sure if you died, you'd go to heaven? She said, I'm not interested in that. But all of a sudden, when we started going through that storm, she became quite interested. And she came back to me again, and she said, sir, she said, well, you remember that question you asked me when we first took off? You know, do you know for sure if you died, you'd go to heaven? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I'm very interested in that question right now. And can I tell you, she was very easy to lead to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, may I say, winds will come in your life. Sometimes they would come at a certain time. Sometimes they would be there for a long time. Sometimes somebody would get cancer, and sometimes somebody would have maybe a congestive heart failure. Sometimes somebody would go through a financial difficulty in their life, and it just seems like that wind stays there forever. But what is winds for? Why does God allow winds to come in our life? Why is it that there's difficult times that come into life? You know that in the south and in the east coast, you have the hurricanes that come in. When you go into the interlands, we have what we call the tornadoes that come in. But there's nothing like a good gust of wind sometimes to be beneficial in areas where needed. The book of John chapter 3 and in verse 8, the Bible says, the wind bloweth. And the Bible says, where it listeth. And it says, thou hearest the sound thereof, and thou canest not tell whence it cometh. We had a storm that was coming through our neighborhood, and we had already had, I guess, different tornadoes that had touched down in different places throughout the years that we've lived out there. Matter of fact, one neighborhood was almost wiped completely out in a subdivision there, and they had to rebuild it and stuff like that. And I know that over in the Rockwall area and there in Rowlett as well, you know, different ones had touched down. As it would touch down on one of our members' businesses, another member's house, and so many other people went through some very devastating times as different winds. But I remember it coming through. I thought it was coming through our neighborhood. I looked at my dear wife. I said, I think we need to take cover. I think it's about time to take cover. Why don't you go in the bathroom, and why don't you take cover? I'm going to go outside, and I'm going to see where it's at. Because after all, you know, that truck of mine, it runs pretty quick. And if it starts to come towards our house, sweetheart, we're going to get in the truck and we're going to outrun that thing. Now, I don't know if that's the smartest thing or not, but it sure was fun. You know, you treat winds different ways. The Bible talks about different winds that comes in our life. The book of Ezekiel chapter 27 and verse 26, the Bible says the rowers have brought thee into the great waters. The Bible says the east wind hath broken thee in the midst of the seas. May I remind you, please, that when winds blow, sometimes they blow to break things up. Sometimes God will allow winds to blow in our lives to break some things up so that we become more reliant on Him rather than reliant on us. Sometimes those winds, when they blow, you'll see that the sunny sky begins to darken. You'll see that there is those things that were once held in great security that are now unsecure. You'll see sometimes when God uses winds in that which is the believer's life, that sometimes you don't know exactly what way to go, but yet the Bible teaches that He's a light unto our path. When you can't see what way to go, you always stay by the principles of the Word of God. Let God guide you as the direction you're supposed to go. Sometimes those winds, when they come, it causes a division. I know when winds would hit the farm many years ago, we'd have to go out, and sometimes the chickens would be all over the place, and sometimes the goats would be running here and there, and sometimes the pigs would be out, and it was a mess. And they didn't have good fellowship together. It was a mess. Can I tell you, I found this out to be true, that in the Christian realm, that sometimes when we allow the winds to come in our life, and yea, we don't understand that God is the one that can help us with the winds. God is the one that can lead us through the winds. God is the one that can give us direction through the winds. When we don't understand that God is the one that not only provides the winds, but those winds can help us and benefit us in our personal lives, then we begin to make wrong and faulty decisions. There was Camille that took place on August the 14th through August the 22nd of 1969. They said it was one of the most devastating storms that ever touched down. There was those that didn't believe it was coming. Matter of fact, if you remember or go back and review your history, you'll find out there was those that lived in such disbelief that it was coming that they had what they call hurricane parties. You might remember that. These people that gathered in these hurricane parties, they shouted things such as this: "This is my land and no one will take it from me." Well, you know, that's all right to shout maybe when you're facing an individual, but if you stand out there in front of the wind, you're standing out there in front of a tornado, you're standing out there in front of a hurricane, and you boldly put your chest up and say, "This is my land and you're not going to take it from me," can I tell you, you might be swooped away. There was 205 an hour winds that was hitting the shore, 205 miles an hour. Can you imagine? It took place that night at 10:15. All of a sudden, it seemed like the front of all of that which was keeping security was now broken. You'll see that according to history, there was 23 people that was at one of these hurricane parties. Not one of them lived. You'll see that there was a three-story shelter that was providing shelter. In the time of need from this very tragic storm, it blew down and there was only three survivors. You'll see that so many different things took place. Why? I'm going to tell you why. Because when the winds blew, it was tough. And when the winds blew, it even broke down the things that people considered tougher. Now, let me ask you, dear friend, what are you going to do when the winds blow in your life? What are you going to do when all of a sudden the tragedy comes in your life? What are you going to do when it seems like the winds are greater than what you yourself can actually sustain? When the winds blow, it breaks the tough. When the winds blow, it breaks that which is the tall. The Bible says in John chapter 16 and verse 14, the Bible says, "And it shall be glorified to me," listen to it now, "and he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine," listen to it now, "and shall show it unto you." You know, sometimes God will use the winds to be able to break down, if you will, or make that which is tall to be able to bend over. Sometimes when the wind blows, it affects us and it shames us. Sometimes when the wind blows, it helps to exalt the Savior. Sometimes when the wind blows, it also extends that which is salvation for those that don't really understand salvation. Somebody said this. They said, "For a long time, I've seen the difficulties, but it's almost like the oak that would grow very strong. When the contrary winds come, however, that oak that grows very strong, if it does not learn to bend, will be broken." Diamonds are made under that which is pressure. Can I tell you, when winds blow, sometimes even tall men bow. Oh, come on, dear friend. I've seen it when winds blow, somebody that has financial security all of a sudden wind up with a shocked heart. I've seen relationships over the years, and relationships all of a sudden begin to crumble when the winds blow. I've seen great people go through great difficulty when winds blow in their life because they don't allow God to work in their life, but they stand up bold and tall against the mighty hand of God and God working in their life. Now, what is it that God could use these winds to do? I said, when winds blow, it breaks the tough. When winds blow, it bends the tall. When winds blow, it benefits the tired. Oh, can I tell you, one thing I like about the Dallas area in which we live, there's always, have you ever noticed this? There's always a breeze. Now, it may be a hot breeze, but there's always a breeze. You walk outside and there's a breeze that will hit you in the face. That could remind you of the very hand of God every single second in your life. Can I say this morning, that when the winds blow, understand this, it does benefit the tired. The Bible talks in the book of John chapter 16 and verse 7. It says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." It says, "It is expedient unto you that I go away." It says, "And if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." Many times the Holy Spirit, if you would please, will be like that breeze that comes, that reminds you of the promises of God, that helps you to be able to concentrate on him when all of a sudden the wind's blowing in your life. Can I say this morning, that when that wind blows, it would chip and it would help. When that breeze blows, if you will, please, it shows us things. How many times have you ever heard the preacher get up, whether it be a visiting preacher or I as your pastor, to get up and to preach something, and all of a sudden it makes sense. All of a sudden the light comes on. You know, you came discouraged, you came defeated, you came kind of down, if you would please, and all of a sudden the man of God gets up and he shows you a Bible truth, and all of a sudden that light comes on and you say, wow, I never saw it that way before, or I thank God that I saw it this time, because after all, that did help me. You know what that is? That's the sweet Holy Spirit of God taking that Bible and giving you a very personal application. You know, preaching is this way. The preacher gets up, he does the best he can to be able to walk with God. He does the best he can to be able to get a good sense of the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. And he gets up and he opens the Bible, and if he loves his people, he'll do his very best to be able to reach out there and to be able to give them a truth that will help them to be able to overcome the difficulties of life. He has a burden for that which is souls, and he wants to preach something in a way that cause that person that's lost and undone to come to the reality that without Christ there is no hope. And so he does his very best to be able to get up and to preach. And can I tell you, when the winds come, it is beneficial to those that are tired. Because sometimes when that little breeze comes along, that's all you need to be able to get a second wind. It might be that God gives it through a song. Yes, it might be. It might be that God gives it through a choir special. It might be that God gives it through a Sunday school lesson. It might be that God gives it through a preaching message. By the way, that's why it's better to be in church than out of church. That's why it's better to be in attendance. You know, I know this. I know we have the live stream, and when people get sick, and I understand that, and they stay home and they watch the live stream. But can I tell you, there's nothing like it live. You can't see the sweat and you can't see the toil in somebody's eyes when they get up to deliver a truth, or yes, even to be able to sing a song. You can't shake somebody's hand on live stream.
Right.
If you can, ooh, bye. But can I tell you, listen, there's nothing like the church of God. There's nothing like coming together and seeing God work. There's nothing like being in a place where God's power can be evident and can be felt and can be sensed and can be followed, and you decide that God is going to work in your life and help you. Hey, can I tell you, dear friend, there's nothing like church. I'm saying this morning, the wind blows and sometimes it is beneficial. Sometimes it'll help you. Sometimes that wind will be able to comfort, if you will. Is I'm talking about that breeze of the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about now, if you would please, where you're sitting there, and all of a sudden, as you're reading your Bible, or as the preacher is preaching, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit gives that personal application. And by the way, just because he gave you personal application doesn't mean he gave it somebody else. Just because he gave it to you doesn't mean he even gave it to your wife or to your husband. See, God deals with you as an individual. So the preacher gets up and he may preach something in a very general fashion, but then the Holy Ghost loves you so much, he gives you personal application. So don't get mad at your wife now when you get in the car and you're driving home and you say, sweetheart, what did you get out of that message? And she says, well, I got this. Well, while she was getting this, you were getting this way over here. You say, well, he didn't even mention this. Well, honey, I'm just telling you, that's what I got. Well, you must not have been listening. Well, wait a minute. Whoa, chill out a little bit. You know, the Holy Spirit makes personal application. Why can't we be this way? Why can't we thank God for everything that God gives us? Now, you know this. You know preachers are so different. You know that. We have all so many preachers that come that fill our pulpit and at the Baptist Leadership Conference and our National Soul Winning Conference and our Missions Conference, and special great men of God like Dr. Fox that will preach tonight. And my, what a great blessing that is. But you know, us preachers, we're all different. Did you know that? Dr. Fox, you know, he was teaching Sunday school this morning. God bless him, amen. And he started singing. I've tried that a time or two. But it looks like people get sad all of a sudden. Now, I'm saying this morning. I'm saying, look, when the wind blows, understand this, that sometimes you'll find benefit in that. And by the way, listen, when God all of a sudden starts to ring you out, when God all of a sudden starts to work in your house, when God all of a sudden starts to work on your heart, can I tell you, don't get mad at God. Don't run from God. Let God help you. Let God love you. Let God encourage you. Let God teach you. Let God instruct you. Let God be God in your life. I'm saying this morning, when the winds blow, there's benefits. You know, sometimes we don't see the benefits in things. Sometimes we just let things go. But sometimes that wind can be a benefit. That breeze, if I talk about relatively to the Holy Spirit of God, you don't have to walk through your valleys by yourself. He'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's the breeze, if you will. He's the one that gives that which is energy to that which is truth. He's the one that will interpret truth. He's the one that is your comforter, your paraclete, your walk besider, if you will. But he's also which is your private tutor. See, I believe this. I believe every Christian ought to bring their Bible to church. Amen. You're not looking at a preacher up here that one day we're going to go, we're just going to put a bunch of words on a screen. No, you need to hold your Bible, friend. You need to feel the pages. You need to cast your eyes down on the truth. You know, and let everybody else see that when you come to church, boy, you got a Bible. Woo! Where are you going? Well, got a Bible right here. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Now, I'm saying this morning. I'm saying that when the wind blows, understand that sometimes it will benefit the tired. There was a missionary by the name of Hudson Taylor, missionary to China. He got on the boat. Now he's going down through the channel. He's going down through the Pensacola Channel. As he's arriving close to where he's going to be, all of a sudden, a rapid knock came on the door. That rapid knock expressed urgency. It was the captain. The captain knocked on Mr. Taylor's door and said, "Mr. Taylor, we don't have a wind. We're drifting close to an island," as documented in his journal. "We're drifting close to an island. On that island is some man-eating cannibals. We fear for our lives. We don't have a wind. We can't set sail. We don't know what to do." Hudson Taylor said, "Let me meet with God. Go ahead and put those sails back up." They'd given up hope. They took down the sails. I said, but the captain said this, "But there's not even a breeze. There's not even a wind that's blowing." What's right? He said, "Look, have faith in God. Put your sails back up. Put your sails back up." And so they put the sails back up, and Hudson Taylor, according to the story that's been written, went back into his cabin, and he got on his knees. He started to pray. Within 45 minutes, the captain came back in, said, "Mr. Taylor, you can stop praying now. Matter of fact, if you want to reverse it a little bit, there's too much wind." Now, what is that? That's God. See, God knows what you need. God can help you with every need that you have. I don't care if you're a child this morning. I don't care if you're a teenager this morning and mom and dad don't understand you, and maybe mom and daddy's dropped out of church and mom and daddy's not serving God anymore, and maybe there's liquor running loose inside of the house, and maybe there's drugs running all over the place. But can I tell you, you got a God, and that God can hear your prayer and that God can answer your prayer. You don't have to stand by yourself. Hey, you stay faithful to the house of God. And you let people get around you, and people help you, and people love you, and people encourage you, and people take the word of God and preach it to you and help you to be able to go the right way. And yes, God can still answer your prayers. I'm saying this morning, when the wind blows, it breaks the tough. When the wind blows, it bends the tall. When the wind blows, it benefits the tired. Let me give you one last thing and I'm done. When the wind blows, it brings things. You ever see something wind up in your yard that's not yours? I came home one day and there's a beer can in my yard. I went immediately and said, "Dear honey, is everything all right? Have you had an extra hard day?" Then you figure out, what do you do with that? "Well, I know what you do. You throw it in the neighbor's yard and walk away." You can't do that. You just can't do that. The neighbor might be watching, you know. Can't do that. What do you do? Well, you go throw it in the trash can. Oh, that's real good. There's a loose beer can in the trash can. What do you do with that? All of a sudden, here comes the trash man, picks up the trash. And he says, oh, there that preacher is. He's drinking again. What are you doing? Well, what do? You put it in a bag, and then you put it in another bag, and then you crush it so it loses its natural form, and then you put it in another bag, and maybe five or six other bags, and then you walk it out, and you throw it in the trash can. You say, why do you go to such extreme? Well, let me ask you this. Sometimes the wind brings things in your life. How do you respond to those things? We do live in Dallas. What do you do if you're driving the speed limit, and somebody pulls up behind you, and they think that you're too slow because they want to go 90, and you're going 70. What do you do? What do you do when somebody pulls up beside you and they give you fingers? Thank you, sister. What do you do? You know, what do you do all of a sudden when you come home and your wife's not in the good mood? What do you do? What do you do all of a sudden when you talk to your husband and everything he says to you and in his response to everything you just said, just a little bit rude? What do you do? What do you do as a teenager that's gone to a youth camp, yay, a youth conference? You made some great decisions for God, but your parents don't want you to do those godly things. What do you do? What do you do when you come to church and you've always been sitting in that pew? Now we got a new member. They don't know their place because they're now in your pew. What do you do? Dr. Fox is here doing a great job teaching us about music. Man, what do you do? You've been practicing a song for 4 months. Now you're getting up nerve to ask if you could sing it. And somebody just 3 days ago got up and sang it. They did better than you ever dreamed you could have. You got offended. What do you do? I'm saying this. When the winds blow, sometimes it brings things. The Bible says in Psalm 18 and verse 42, the Bible says, then did I beat them, listen to it now, beat them small as the dust before the wind, and did cast them out as the dirt in the street. You ever do that? You ever clean out your garage? You know, you're taking that broom and you just got dust, you know, it's gonna, you know, blow away, and so you just take it and you dust it outside, and a big gush of wind comes, disperses it back into the ground. You ever do that? What happens when the winds blow in your life? Let me give you a Bible antidote and I'm done. We understand this, that when the winds blow, God has something for us to do. Take your Bible and go back. Here it is, and I'm done. Look at Matthew. I mean, I just don't want to leave you with the wind blowing in your life. Amen. Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. The Bible says, when he entered into the ship, his disciples followed him. Understand this, statement number one. You do not face winds by yourself. You do not face winds by yourself. Look at verse 24. The Bible says, and behold, there arose great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. And the Bible says, listen to it now, but he was asleep. So you do not face the winds by yourself. As a believer, he is with you. And by the way, you listen to me, he's going to face all the winds in his life, yea, because he is in your life, calmer than what you will face them. So understand, you do not face the winds by yourself. Statement number two, watch this. Look at verse 25. The Bible says, and his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us. He says, we perish. They say, we perish. Now, wait a minute. So we understand this, that you do not face them all by yourself. We understand that he's the only one that has the power to change them. You can go to your husband, doesn't change it. Go to your wife, doesn't change it. Go to your sister, doesn't change it. Go to your mom, brother, doesn't change it. There's only one that has the power to change it. That's God. They knew who to go to when the winds blew. They knew. You say, well, I tell you what, I'm just going to try and have a good influence on my daddy. Maybe my daddy will do right. Can I tell you, always have a good influence on your daddy, but only God can change it. Only God can change it. If we spend too much energy in what we can do, oftentimes more than not, dear friend, we leave out God. Maybe we ought to spend more energy on what God can do and then ask God what he wants us to do. Maybe we have it a little bit backwards. Maybe what we ought to do is get on our knees and say, dear Lord, I don't know what to do with this. I have no idea, but you're God. These are your children. This is my dear wife. This is my dear husband. These are my children. These are my relatives. These are my church members. And God, I don't know what to do, but God, you know what to do. All right, so realize when the winds come, you don't face them by yourself. Don't forget Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Don't forget they were in a burning, fiery furnace. Don't forget when King Nebuchadnezzar came to look down at that. He said, I see one, I see two, I see three, I see four, and the force of light unto the Son of God. Don't forget, he's with you through every windy challenge. He's there. Amen. Well, I just got to figure it out by myself. That's not God's will. Amen. Well, I've just got to make it by myself. That's not God's will. Well, I've just got to be able to come up with an answer and be able to perform it by myself. You're not supposed to do that as a child of God. He wants to be your father. He wants to be close to you. So statement number one, you realize that you're not alone. Statement number two, realize that you can come to the Lord and he's the only one that can make the difference. Statement number three, talk to him. Talk to him. You notice when these guys came in, There was an urgency there. You know, here's what happens. We get so backslidden in our prayer life because we don't talk to him at all that when a big problem comes, we do the same thing. We don't talk to him at all. That relationship that we have with the Lord ought to be a close relationship. You know, and sometimes God will allow us to be able to go through the winds in our life to develop that relationship closer to him because he's longing to be able to be close to you. Now, by the way, you listen to me. The more that those winds come in your life, that's not God saying, boy, I tell you what, I hate you. I'm going to get you. That might be God showing his love to you. Come on.
Yes.
It was Ira Sankey. He was over in the London area, traveled with Moody, by the way. And the story goes about those overcoats that had just come out. Ira Sankey's boy was so proud because daddy bought him an overcoat. They were in the London, England area, and Sankey from his hotel would take a path through the woods to be able to get to the meeting place. And all of a sudden, this little boy had his overcoat. Boy, he's just so proud. I've got an overcoat, put his hands down in his pocket. He's about 11 years of age or so, and Sankey said to his boy, he said, look, he said, there's an icy patch. You're not familiar with this area now. There's an icy patch through the woods. Here's what I suggest. Take your hand out of your pocket. Let daddy hold your hand. He said, no, daddy, I'm fine. He liked that warm overcoat. He kept his hands down in those warm pockets of that warm overcoat. They came across that patchy little area, and that little boy's feet slipped out from under him, and he went airborne and landed on his back. Once he landed on his back, he looked up at his daddy, and he said, daddy, I'll hold your hand now. Yeah. That's the way you and I are. We wait until we hit the ice patches. We wait until it gets really bad. Come on now. We wait until all of a sudden, boy, God, just like these right here, they go running into the Lord. Lord, Lord, save me. Now, by the way, at least they knew to go. And they knew that it didn't matter how far they were away from the Lord, he would save them. Amen. They knew who he was. I'm saying this. I'm saying when the winds blow, the winds sometimes blow to break the tough. Sometimes they blow to bend the tall. Sometimes they blow to benefit the tired. Sometimes they blow just to bring things in your life that God wants to bring in your life. What do we do when those winds blow? We realize we're not alone. We realize the Lord can help us. We realize that we should not just rely on Him helping us. We're supposed to go to Him. Then one last thing, watch this. Understand that He's the only one that can change the situation. Look at it in verse 25. The Bible says His disciples came unto Him and awoke Him saying, Lord, save us. We perish. But watch this down in verse 26. The Bible says, and he saith unto them, why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith? He says, then he arose, rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great, notice the emphasis, great, watch the emphasis, great calm. Not just a calm. It was a great calm. He's the only one can do that. He's the only one can do that. When you face those turbulent times in your life, when you face the winds in your life, look. Don't crawl up in a corner somewhere. Don't just start sucking your thumb. Don't just crawl up and say, well, I tell you what, I just don't know what to do. I just don't know what to do. I guess I'm just going to have to give up and just quit. Don't do that. Maybe here's what you ought to do. Realize that you're not in it alone. No matter what problem you've got, problems are common to all men. You're not alone. There's no problem, by the way, that you've faced that our Lord Jesus Christ has not given you a way to escape out of that problem. There's no problem. There's nobody greater than that which is the Lord to be able to help you with your problem. And by the way, if you're saved, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Don't forget it. So what do? I realize I'm not in it by myself. I can run to Him. Yes, even though I may have not been in the area of fellowship with Him for a long time. These guys were not down there with Him. They came from another place on the ship. And they go running into Him in great urgency. And they said, Lord, save us, we perish. Sound like they were really meaning that. Sound like they were afraid. God will even answer your prayers and be close to you when you're afraid. Yes. Even if you've not been with Him for a long time. But you have to learn to run to Him. By the way, a good place to learn how to run to God's in church. I'm not for these churches that have Sunday morning church and that's it. I don't know of a believer that can survive on that. Oh, no, I believe you need Sunday morning and Sunday night. I believe Wednesday night, but it doesn't stop there, dear friend. I believe you need to be in that Bible every day of your life. Because that Bible will help you to understand how to overcome the winds in your life. And by the way, watch me. Here I am. Here it goes. You know, if you're a strong believer, I don't have to pacify you to try and get you in church on Sunday morning. If you're a strong believer, I don't have to walk around and see, I wonder if they came to Sunday school. You prioritize God. You prioritize what is important to Him. And by the way, that's His Word. And so the more that you can get His Word, the better off you're going to be. See, that's how come it's so important to understand. When we are walking with Him, we know exactly who to run to. Exactly who to run to. Let me give you a closing illustration. I'm done. I was in the North Carroll High School bathroom, and somebody walked in, and a guy pushed me. Then for no reason at all, it just happened. I didn't know him from Adam, but he pushed me. When I turned around to see who it was, he had a fist waiting for me, and he jacked my jaw. I mean, he hit me as hard as he could. My face went that way, and my body followed my face. I got up. I had blood running down here. I looked up at him, and I was just a little boy entering into my junior high year on the high school property there, and I guess he just felt like I am going to teach a seventh grader. I'm going to teach him who he really is. I don't know. I have no idea. But he let me have it. I wound up on the floor. I got blood running out. And I looked up, and the only thing I could think about is my big brother. Because my big brother protected me everywhere I went. Boy, I thank God for Dave. And I looked up, and just as a little boy with blood running down his face, I looked up. I said, don't mess with me anymore. Oh, he thought I was going to jump up and let him have it. There's no way. I said, because my brother's Dave. He said, Dave who? I said, Dave 42. That's his number in football. Dave 42. Well, this guy apparently knew football. Oh, I thank God. And he said, Dave Wells, 42? I said, 42. He said, I'm sorry. Why don't you do that in your life when it comes to the Lord? Why don't you look at the winds and look at all the problems and say, no, wait a minute. Do you understand? The Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. Amen. And listen, I'm going to run to him for help. And by the way, don't just talk it, but walk it.
Right.
And let him help you. Father, bless, we do pray.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.